Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. If you get a chance, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. If you haven't already done it, subscribe. But while you're there, make sure you hit that bell button. Because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to anytime I go live or I upload any brand new content. Because I do hear from a lot of people, oh man, I forgot, I missed your live stream live. And if you do miss the live stream live, it's always going to be up there in the archives for you to be able to listen to. But if you hit that bell button, you're going to be able to watch it live because you will get alerted. Would love to hear from you guys. Doesn't have to be on things on today's show. Could be stuff from previous shows that I've talked about. There's a couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E @gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. So, on yesterday's show, I talked about the potential opening. Hell, I don't even know if they're wanting to replace Butler that quit on Tom and Dan. And I know that it may seem insensitive. It might be unprofessional for me to jump in before the body is even cold. But that's how you got to be in this business. And I think I already screwed it up. I don't think I screwed it up. Matter of fact, it might make it even, might make it happen even faster. I always called Tom all the time. He rarely ever picks up. There are some times that he does. And he rarely returns my text. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying anything bad about Tom. Tom's got a family, wife and kids. He's got two boys. I know it was just a holiday weekend, but Butler from Tom and Dan ended up quitting, and I wanted to turn in a resume, which I already sent in, and like I said, I don't even know if they're even going to try to replace him, but I ended up calling Tom Van, a.k.a. Drunky the Bear, and I was leaving a voicemail, and I screwed up, because I wanted to be able to say something really, really cool because I do realize that a lot of people in the business look at me as a complete F-up, maybe even a liability. So I wanted to be able to, like, come across professionally, and I screwed it up. And I tried to, like, hit the thing so I could stop the recording and re-record, and I accidentally hit the hang-up button. So I'm sure that I look like and sounded like a complete maniac, and it probably won't help my cause, but I did text. But I really, really do think I could help the guys out a lot, and I'm not even asking for anything right now. Like, I was offering just to help them out behind the scenes because I know that a lot of radio shows, podcasts, they actually have a schedule of things, way things need to be done. And going a man down can kind of throw off the whole rhythm of everything. And I don't even know what Butler did, but I really don't even care because the thing about it is that I have worked in pretty much every aspect of radio. I've done sales. I've done promotions. I've done, I've even scheduled traffic commercials. I've even been on air as a personality, and that's what I've done most of the time. So it's not like I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And I'm not trying to say I have an ego or trying to S my own D, but I know that I am way better than Butler. No offense, Butler. But I could make Tom and Dan's life way, way easier. There's so many things that I could do. So we'll see. I completely get it if they don't want to take a chance on me or they're not even going to replace that position. Because I do know that I burned a lot of bridges. I do have a bad name with some of the radio personalities that I've been associated with. But it's worth a shot. I would be an idiot not to jump on that opportunity to be a part of the best podcast in the state of Florida. And if they just want to pay me minimum wage, that's fine. Hell, if they want to do it like I'm a effing server at a restaurant and I get tips, and by tips I mean plugs for my podcast, I'm fine with that. So I did everything I can, even though I sounded like a effing maniac on the voicemail that I left Tom. But I'm almost sure he probably doesn't even check any voicemail that I send to him. So, moving forward, you guys know I talk about my producer, Vulture, all the time. He doesn't want me to give out his real identity, and I get it. The guy has fought for our country for the last 20 years of his life, and I get it. And he's got a lot of stuff going on today, and I actually had to record an interview on my own on Zoom. And I didn't even know anything about the interview. And let me explain. When I go into interviews, I like to just know the basics. I like my interviews to be like a real-life conversation the first time you meet somebody. And that's how I like to do my interviews. But I had absolutely no idea what this interview was about, the name that he gave us, and just to give you a heads up, the interview I did is recorded, but I got to go through and I got to edit the name out. But he is an American that's going to medical school, and he's going to medical school in the Caribbean. So I 5 minutes before I jumped on, I started like introing it, and I was like throwing out his real name maybe like 5 or 6 times before he actually came on. So I got to go through and edit that. So if you hear the edit beeps, that is why. Because you got to realize, like, some of the content that he's doing, this was one of the most honest interviews that I've ever done. And I completely get it as a medical student why you would want to protect your identity. And when I'm recording on Zoom, I usually do just audio only, because when you're using video, it does like eat up the bandwidth. And I still don't have Wi-Fi here, so I like to do audio only, but his video feed was still on. I could see him. He was wearing his scrubs, doctor jacket, had a hat on so you couldn't even see what a hair color he had, and he was wearing a surgical mask while doing the interview. I just wanted to give you a heads up. So I went into this interview absolutely not even knowing what my guest was wanting to talk about, and I kind of looked at it as a challenge. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, because as a person interviewing him, I thoroughly enjoyed it. He was open and honest. He didn't get offended by any of my questions. And keep in mind, you got to realize that there are so many questions that I could have asked, because he is an American that wants to become a medical doctor, and he's practicing medicine, not practicing medicine, he's learning medicine in the Caribbean. And I just find that absolutely fascinating. All right, guys, welcome back. I got an interview coming up here, and I'm actually looking very forward to it. His name is, but the thing is that I do not know a damn thing about what I'm interviewing him about. And I don't want anybody to think like I'm just throwing this on my producer and blaming him. No. Because I'm good at research. I'm good at researching people. I just need a first, last name, where they're from. And I can usually find, but there's nothing. I don't even know. Like I did find some, but I just don't know if it's the right one or not. And not blaming my producer Vulture because he's busy. He's got his own business as well as serving our country in the military. So it's not like I'm upset or anything. Matter of fact, I'm actually kind of excited about doing this interview. Because, like I said, I don't really know anything about this guy. And I look at it as a challenge. I look at it as a challenge to see how good I am thinking on my feet. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring him on and I'm going to be like, you know, hey, I got coming on. Hey, let me know a little bit about yourself and tell me how people can find your content. And then everything he tells me, I'm just going to go from there. And that's just the way that I'm going to have to, like, look at this interview. I definitely like new challenges. Is it unprofessional on my part? Yes. It's extremely unprofessional on my part. But I still think I can do a great, interesting interview going into it, not knowing anything about this guy. I mean, I really do think that's probably the reason why I'm so good at doing the man on the street stuff. Because I usually am able to twist people's words or actually think of another question. That's how I like to do interviews. I like to do interviews just barely basically knowing the bare minimum about them, what they're about and all that good stuff. I like my interviews to be like real conversations with people that you meet for the first time. And I think that's a good way to go about it because you don't see any of these radio people doing that anymore. You don't even see the nighttime TV people doing it. They've already got producers and everything already lined up, and they've already interviewed these people, these celebrities. Because I've talked about this. I would rather talk to 1,000 that I don't know anything about than some like A-list celebrity, because they're not going to give you the truth. They're going to lie. They're not going to be an open book like some of these regular people. And I don't mean that as a diss toward a regular person, but everybody has an interesting story. Give me enough time, I can find something interesting about anybody. And I'm not trying to like S my own D or anything here. It's just I'm good. I don't really, really get embarrassed. And I will ask any question. I don't care how big the person is. Hell, put me in front of the president of the United States. I'll ask. I'm not going to go in nervous. I ain't going to be going in scared. So I'm just waiting for to pop on the Zoom because I already got the Zoom open. I'm actually having to do all the recording as well, too. And the sad thing is I'm probably talking about this and I might get stood up by Mr. Sounds like a starting quarterback for a 5-star or 5A football team in Texas, star quarterback, gets all the ladies, really doesn't even have to go to school. Teachers are giving them A's. Well, maybe not even A's. You don't want to make it look too like apparent that, hey, because this guy's the star quarterback, is getting all the ass. Doesn't even have to try in school. Everybody thinks he's cool. And come to find out, probably is the most insecure person out there. Not this, talking about the imaginary that I just put in that scenario. Because does sound like a great quarterback name. One of the things that I did respect Bubba for, Bubba the Love Sponge, the last radio show that I worked for, somebody told me, I saw somewhere online, on social media, that Jim Brewer actually stood him up, which that sucks. It really does suck that you prep and prepare for guests and they don't call, no show. Yeah, I could see his frustration. But I've also seen Bubba. He gives them a 5-minute like window. And it's 1 minute until the scheduled time for the interview. And still no. So we'll see how this goes. But Bubba has, I have seen him with some pretty big A-list celebrities that call in more than 5 minutes late, depending on who it is, depending on what type of mood Bubba was in. I could easily see him like B-list or a low A-list celebrity telling him, hey, we can't do it. You're 5 minutes late. And it was very pimp of him to do that. I'm sure that pissed off a lot of people. I remember one of the most uncomfortable interviews is when he was interviewing Jay Moore. Yeah, it was Jay Moore. That was a great interview. I think Bubba's actually got that up on his YouTube channel. Jay Moore, like Bubba had said something. And usually if you get off to a bad foot when it comes to an interview as a guest with Bubba, he'll just check out. He won't even, he'll start eating or looking up race parts on his computer. So yeah, the guests have got to come correct when they're appearing on the Bubba the Love Sponge show. But it's sucky to hear that Jim Brewer just definitely stood him up. No call, no show. It's one of the things that pisses you off the most as a host, if I'm just being honest. Because it does happen to me quite a bit on the Tuttle Daily Podcast since I've been doing the podcast. It does happen every once in a while. And it sucks even worse to get no called, no showed by a bunch of nobodies. And I'm not calling to a nobody. But it is 2:01 right now. And it's now on the clock, like it is the NFL draft. I don't have a good feeling about coming through on this one. Maybe it was just some listener or troll that was like, because I am on this podcasting website where you can book guests and you can appear on my show. That's how I found King SM. My interview with King SM is available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button. That bell button's really important. It really is, because I do hear from a lot of people that say, oh, I missed the live stream. Well, if you had your alerts on, you would have known that I was going live. Oh, here we go. Just waiting for him to join. Hey, how are you? Is this a...
Hey, how you doing?
Is this...
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Not bad, man. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I've already been recording. I was just waiting around for you. I really do like, has anybody ever told you you do have one of the coolest names? Sounds like somebody, I was explaining to my audience that it definitely sounds like.
I can't believe I must have messed up when I put my name into your thing.
Yeah, you did that, but I already knew what the name was. So,
I don't know if we can edit this or whatever, but
no, it's not. It's just going to be audio.
Okay, I try to remain anonymous. So okay, my real name is the one that you're saying.
But I saw it. And look, I'm okay. A professional, my friend. I didn't do that on purpose. Okay. I actually said what your name was. I'll go back and edit it in post. I'll put bleeps over it so nobody knows. So
okay.
So one of my I'm calling you Trevor.
Yep.
All right. All right, Trevor. Hey, what's up, Trevor, man? So Trevor, before we get started with the interview, tell my audience, my supporters and stuff a little bit about yourself and where they can find the content and stuff that you want to talk about.
Awesome. Yeah. So I have a podcast called Unprofessional. It's on all the platforms that you can think of. We're also on YouTube. And I'm a medical student. I'm just finishing up with my fourth year of medical school. And then you have the MD to your name. You're a medical doctor.
So you got to do another four, right? You got to do another four after that first four.
Yep, for residency. Yeah, so you're technically a doctor, but you're not under your, you're still under supervision. for the next now, 3 to 4 years, depending on the residence.
So you got to do your right because listen, I watched a lot of Scrubs. So
good show.
I kind of know.
Great show.
And Chicago Med and ER back in the day. So,
okay.
Or The Good Doctor as well too. You're not a doctor with autism, right?
Okay. I'm the opposite. I'm like dumb, but I can like interact with people well.
Very cool. Now, do you want to say what is it? Is it a prestigious school that you're going to for medical school?
Oh, we definitely not. But we're known as the Harvard of the Caribbean. Okay, so it's St. George's University, and that's pretty much saying you're the best of the worst. Yeah.
Wait. So are you really getting your medical degree in the Caribbean?
That's right.
Area?
Yep.
Wait, the
Caribbean.
Wait a minute. So I watched a great documentary that I've had a guest on some of the other radio shows that I produced. Mm-hmm. It was about the steroid era back in the day when Alex Rodriguez was going on, and the mm-hmm. doctor that was prescribing the steroids to some of these big athletes got his medical degree in the Caribbean, but he couldn't practice in the United States, but his dad was a licensed doctor. So
oh, wow.
he would see the people, and then he would have his dad write the scripts to be able to give to the people. So what is it like going to medical school in the Caribbean? Like, is it like paradise every single day? Like you get done with school, and then when you're done with everything, you can go crack a Corona and be on the beach.
So I wish. That sounds awesome. But, so a couple things. One, with the Alex Rodriguez story, I didn't know about that, which is that's crazy. That's hilarious, actually. But yeah, so we are, once you go through St. George's University, and there's a couple other medical schools in the Caribbean that are the same. There's like AUC, which is American University of the Caribbean, and I forget the other one offhand. But then there's a bunch of other Caribbean medical schools as well. But the top three are the ones that I just mentioned. And those ones, you're very comfortable getting a job as a physician if you get the right scores on your exams and, you know, you have good enough letters of recommendation and stuff in the United States. So those medical schools, along with some others in the Caribbean, have clinical rotations in the United States for your third and fourth year of medical school. And then you can become a resident and then a doctor. So there's definitely no issues there with that, especially anymore. Back in the day, there was issues with that kind of stuff. You're considered an international medical student because you didn't attend medical school in the US, but you're pretty much like an honorary American medical student at this point.
Let's back up a little bit. What made you decide to go to medical school in the Caribbean? Was it price? Because a lot of people get themselves into debt going to school. You can never pay off your student loans and stuff. Was that one of the reasons?
For me personally, it was not. For me, I needed to go to a medical school to be able to become a doctor, and they're the only ones that took me. And that's the case with a lot of the students. I would say the vast majority, especially the Canadian students, because there's only a few select Canadian medical schools, and they're so hard to get into. It's insane. And I'm not from Canada, I'm from the US. But just the stories that my buddies tell me, I mean, they're.
But you're up from up north,
exams.
Though, right? You're.
Yep,
you
yep.
could almost be
I'm in the Midwest.
Canada.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
could almost.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Now, so tell people the YouTube, how they can find you on YouTube.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so you can find us on YouTube. I believe you can just look up Unprofessional as well. You might have to look through it a bit. You're not on YouTube at all?
Bill? Yeah, no. I just got monetized.
I'm actually
making money.
YouTube.com/Tuttle.
I'll check you out because I'm very, very interested in this. Now, what are some of the things that you had to get used to going from pretty much as north as you can in the United States to the Caribbean? Because I was born and raised in Florida. Mm-hmm. What were some of the big differences?
Well, definitely culture was the main one. So, I mean, yeah, you could talk about that it's a tropical environment and it's hot and all this other stuff. But the main difference is definitely because I went to Grenada. That's the island I was on. And they are, I mean, it's the most island time place ever. Like they, you know, they're just very slow with everything. You know, you order that Subway sandwich, and it's
because
they're
all
gonna take a while.
Probably on marijuana.
Yeah, they're all just fucked up all the time. No.
I know I shouldn't stereotype and stuff.
No,
but
it's funny though.
I've been to the Caribbean before. I've been to Jamaica. Uh-huh. I've been to like St. Thomas and all the Caribbean islands. And,
oh, nice.
And
yeah,
that's
you know.
Now, have you ever been to the island with that really short runway airport that all the tourists like to stand on the beach? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No, I don't. No.
These idiots. It's such a short runway. And the beach is right there, and they'll stand right there behind, right where the jets, the commercial airliners go off. And it just, there's so many dumbasses that get blown over
that
and
sounds
get
really
hurt.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and then when the planes land, you could, like, seriously, it's for a plane, it's still pretty high up, but being that low, it's crazy.
I bet the pilots hate landing there.
Yeah, but, what's it going to take? So you said honorary, you used air quotes because I can see you.
Yeah.
What does it take though when you want to come back to the United States or do you have any interest in coming back to the United States?
Yeah. So it doesn't take anything special to come back to the United States. You just have to do better than American medical students at various things. So it's like honorary as far as what people mention you as, you know, but once you get into a residency, it doesn't really matter if you went to New York University or if you went to St. George's, you know, for medical school. It's like it's over with at that point. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from St. George's. Apparently, that's just how it is. Like, no one really gives a shit anymore. Can I swear? Sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
No one cares anymore. So it does matter up to this point, though. Like, it really matters. So right before this, I was just busting out questions. I've just been studying all day, and that's what I'm going to do all day today and tomorrow and the next day when I'm not talking to guys like you.
What made you want to start being a content provider or content creator?
Yeah.
Like what, why? Because I really do. If I'm being honest, my friend, that my producer, he is in the military. So today he's been really, really busy. Mm. And we tried to look up everything about you, but you gave me the one name. You see what I'm saying? And it was kind of hard to find anything. And I'm just being straight up honest.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was going to be talking to you about before I went into this. But I've been doing radio for over 20 years.
Yeah, you're doing really good.
And I can wing it. But all right, so you being an American, Caucasian, working in the Caribbean as a doctor, the ladies must be all over you. Like, I can only imagine. Like, or is that the case?
Yeah, it depends on you know how you play things off, right? I mean, if you're some like, this is gonna sound really mean, but bear with me. I mean, if you're just some like fat guy who doesn't take care of himself and you know doesn't have good posture and doesn't you know have friends around him that it seems like who are you know respect him, like it's gonna be a more difficult time to get a girl, right? I mean, there's some basic kind of stuff, but if you know take care of yourself and all that kind of stuff, you know, yeah, your chances increase dramatically, right? But with that said, when you're in medical school, you don't necessarily get an increased chance. You know what I mean? Because everyone around you is in medical school as well. So
but you're from
you're
a
going,
different country. You're from a different country. And when you go to another country, you do like, people love, like, for example, the UK accent. British people that come here to the United States and they're a lady. You know, they stand out. And that's what I'm saying when it comes to you. Like, you go around and be like, yes, I'm going to medical school. You know,
it's definitely a turnoff when you just come up and say, I'm going to medical school. But, you know, when you like ask them, oh, what do you do with your time or whatever? And then they go, what do you do with your time? And you're like, oh, you know, I study for, you know, I'm in medical school. And then you keep going to like, ooh, you know,
I do that a lot telling people when I worked in radio, too. I would always ask, like, what do you do? Because, you know, they're probably going to ask you like, hey, what do you do? You know, and ask it back. I'd be like,
Yeah, you obviously know what you're doing. I could tell pretty quick.
Exactly.
But so as far as like the foreign thing goes, I mean, it definitely comes into play. with that said, most people who are in medical school there weren't going for locals. I was kind of interested in it just because, I don't know, I'm more interested in that kind of thing. I guess it was kind of
so you banging nurses
too.
Then
there wasn't really nurses out there, but now that we're in the US and because we come back and do clinical rotations for our third and fourth year in the US. Mm-hmm. So I've been in New York for the last like year. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I went on a couple of dates with some nurses.
Hey, so how has the COVID been where you're at right now?
Yeah.
Has that been a big concern?
In New York? Yeah, it definitely was. So I was in Brooklyn. Right now I flew back to the Midwest and I'm studying, but then I'll go to Florida next. But yeah, so I was in New York for a year in Brooklyn, and COVID was definitely not good, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be, you know, the whole ER. I'm interested in emergency medicine. I thought the whole ER was just going to be full of people and stuff. But what happened was, so our hospital was one of the first to get affected by COVID in the United States. So it got a really, you know, it got a COVID reputation, right? You know,
yeah.
With no fault of its own. So, you know, at first there was this huge flux. The whole emergency department was full of patients on ventilators and everything. And then so was the whole lobby. The emergency department took up the whole lobby of the hospital too. It was kind of crazy. And I mean, if you see this lobby, it's huge. It's like three times the size of the ED. But so that we had all that going on, and then it slowly dwindled until there was less patients going to our emergency department than there was before COVID. So because people, you know, didn't want to come in because, oh, that's the COVID center, you know? But then it got to about normal when I was at clinical rotations there. So.
How do you feel? Has it been overhyped, or do people still need to be vigilant?
I definitely still need to be vigilant. I mean, it's like a plague. I mean, it's definitely still killing people. I mean, if you walked into the hospital I was at most recently, you'd go in, you'd go up to the pulmonary ICU, and you would see three patients on ventilators with COVID associated respiratory distress, and you know, there two of them when I was there aren't going to make it probably, and one of them is more likely to make it than not. So I mean, if you go in and you look at that, you're like, come on, that's pretty brutal. And then also just the you know, I haven't looked into the numbers lately, but I think they're increasing. And you know,
it's, by the way, another doctor show I watched was House too. Do you know
how to I've just
addiction, right?
Yeah, I like House and I like Scrubs. Scrubs is my favorite probably just because they goof around so much.
Yeah. So what I want to ask you, I know this is going to be a dumb question. Sure. I was reading a story before I came on with you, and I didn't even on purpose. I didn't know you were even in the medical field. I was reading a story about this new variant coming from an HIV patient. Is it possible for two viruses to have sex with each other, sex, and create like a COVID/HIV/AIDS virus? Is that even possible?
That sounds terrifying and kind of cool at the same time. No, I don't think so. We definitely have viruses that are called bacteriophages. So they infect bacteria and then they reproduce through bacteria. But as far as I understand, there's no viral to viral sex going on. But I'm sure there's someone who's drawn that and put it on Reddit or something before.
I know. Well, see, that's why there's so much misinformation.
Yeah.
It was just a random thought.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I know it was this dumbass question.
Honestly,
but
the most important questions to ask are the ones that you think are stupid. Those ones and the ones that give you kind of a gut feeling of like, oh, like I don't want to ask this. Like those are the two, you know. That's how you get to the bottom of shit.
Have you been working with any cadavers? Because you see, like you've done that. Can you maybe walk me through your first time, like working on a body and dissecting and doing that type of stuff? How was that?
For sure. So St. George's University, we're kind of low on resources in the Caribbean. I think it's kind of religious.
Should be
there,
plenty
so
of bodies laying around.
So they don't like donate their bodies to research very much because, you know, that's not their thing. But anyway, we had some.
What about homeless people? I mean, shouldn't homeless people, if nobody like claims them or bury, because they do like unmarked graves all the time. I mean, why not? I mean,
honestly, seems a little bit reasonable.
No, I'm just saying.
I agree. I'm not sure. I don't know what the, I don't know how Grenada does it compared to the U.S. I'm guessing U.S. does not do that at all. But but a Grenada, I don't know. I'm sure stuff's more up for grabs. You know, it's pretty like third world. I mean, unless you get a decent place, you know, there's going to be electrical outages, stuff like that. You know, I didn't have hot water, but
Cadaver. So first time working with a cadaver, like, how were you feeling? Were you nervous going into it?
Yeah. Honestly, like, I'm nervous throughout everything that happens in medicine. You know, I don't want to mess up, but when I first walked in, I just remember the smell, and I'll always remember the smell. You know, they douse them in formaldehyde and soak it in that stuff, so that it's stays good and ripe, you know? So that is super, I don't know, for me, it was like just kind of annoying, but, otherwise, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, if you actually are like engrossed in this stuff and you're like, you're working on it every day and you finally kind of get to see it like in person, it's like, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, the bodies were pretty stiff at the place we were at. I wasn't able to get a good look at it. And the bottom line is, when it comes to medicine, if it's not on the test and it's not going to be on the main test that you're going to take eventually, you really don't care about it. So all this anatomy stuff, yeah, it's like important, and some of it's very important, but the rest isn't. So you kind of, I just like almost block it out of my mind, which is not good.
Do you know the name of the cadaver you're working on? Do they tell you like,
oh, the name of the person?
No. I didn't know, like, would that make a difference? Like, if you knew the backstory of the person,
it would kind of weird me out.
No. But I mean, you got to think about it though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that prepare medical people, people that are wanting to go into that field, that because when you're working as a doctor in an emergency room, these are real alive people. Mm-hmm. They have stories, they got families, they've had a lot of stuff happen to them. And I just think, I don't know, for some reason, I think knowing the backstory on the person, the cadaver you're cutting open, might be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. They definitely teach us, you know, or try to show us respect for the cadavers and all these things. This was a person once, and, you know, they were nice enough to donate their body for you to look at it. And so, yeah, we definitely go hard on that. But as far as like the patient and everything, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's been pushed way more lately to, you know, empathize with patients and, you know, work through their problems that they have and really try to figure who this person is. And it's very hard in the emergency department where you have like, you know, the resources, the hospital, everything, other patients are all pushing you to get done with this patient that you're talking to in like 5 minutes. You know what I mean? So you need to like do a physical exam, a history, everything, figure out what's wrong with this patient and empathize with them in like 5 minutes, then do, you know, order stuff, move on to the next patient. Like, you know, it's a lot to ask, but it's important. It's very, very important. And they're pushing that more in medicine now. And it's very good.
I did an interview probably a couple of weeks ago. He was in charge of the veterans affairs here in the United States. And he wrote a book about medical serial killers. Have you ever like read it? No, I'm being dead serious. Like,
okay,
you know, you think of the normal like Ted Bundy's, John Wayne Gacy, all those people. Their numbers are nothing compared to the nurses and doctors that, you know, and he talked about how the doctors are kind of in the same realm of Munchausen. Like, you know, you want to make the patient sick so you can save them and make a name for yourself, but some of them just get a thrill out of doing it, and it takes forever. The reason why the numbers were so high is because it takes a long time to see a pattern. Wait a minute, all this nurse's patients or all this doctor's patients are dying, and they start digging in a little bit. Have you ever like heard anything about that?
So, well, first of all, we had this one physician at the last hospital we were rotating at telling us all these stories of the same thing you're talking about, like, yeah, like physician serial killers or just killers in general. And one story I've heard is actually a dentist, and, you know, patient come in, just needed to go under some basic anesthesia, and ended up dying. So the person ended up dying. So it must have just been, you know, hypoxia due to like decreased respiratory rate, and it was just a freak accident, right? But instead of, you know, taking responsibility for anything like that, he and that's as far as we know, because we don't know that true story, but we think that's what happened. Then he buried, so they were making a new house, right? And they just buried the person in like the wall or ground of the home. When they finished the basement, and they rapidly did that, right? Then they just lived their lives like nothing happened. And then the person eventually got caught when new people moved in. And, you know, they renovated the basement and found the person.
All right. So crazy. I'm not even, because I look, even though we're hiding your identity, I'm going to go back and bleep out all that stuff to keep your identity. But if a doctor, I'm not even saying you, but if a doctor or a medical person wanted to do that, how would they? Without getting detected. Like, how would they do that to make it seem like it was just an accident just dying of natural causes?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting way harder and harder, you know, every day. But, you know, I feel like back in the day, you could pretty much just purposely kill a guy as a doctor and get away with it. Without trying very hard. But this day and age, it depends on what specialty you are and stuff.
Air bubble and the IV, does that work or no?
It works, but it has to be huge. It's got to be like, I mean, you can't see on the...
A full syringe.
Yeah, it's got to be almost like at least like half a syringe, I would say. And it's got to go all in at once.
Why does that work? Like, what? Break it down to my audience. Why does that work?
So... it ends up being along the lines of a pulmonary embolism, and a pulmonary embolism
like a blood clot?
Yeah, it's a blood clot in like right after, you know, the blood goes through your heart, the first part of your heart, it goes into your lungs and then it goes to the other part of the heart and then it leaves. Right. So once it goes into that first part of the heart, the embolism gets stuck in the pulmonary circulation, like the blood. So that's the same type of thing that's happening with the blood clot with the air. So it gets in there. And it can't get out, and then it just clots everything in there, and you just poof, and that's a very sudden cause of death if it's big enough, and it can be with air embolism. So,
so what after you get done with medical school, what is your expertise? Like, what field are you wanting to work in?
Yeah, I want to do emergency medicine. It's 3 to 4 years of residency. Why? I definitely have found that I'm best and most
on your
happy,
feet,
I would say, in acute situations on my feet. And you get to meet a lot of people type of thing. You know, I don't want to, like, internal medicine's great too. It's my like secondary option, but you know, you sit down, you read charts all day, and you make sure that everything is okay with this patient. No one missed anything, that they can go to this procedure, that they can do this. Whereas emergency medicine, you know, it's take care of that, take care of this, move on, you know, and I just like that better and more acute, you know. It's just, I think it's more fun. What they say is in emergency medicine, you have the most exciting first 5 minutes of every medical practice, you know, whether it's surgery or everything.
If I was going to become a doctor, the only reason I'd want to become a doctor, you know, how you see in TVs and movies where somebody collapses and they're like, is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah.
I would love to be that guy to be able to stand up.
Isn't that badass? That's kind of why I want it too. It's like, that just sounds badass to me, just for that one moment that you'll have in like every like 3 or 4 years, you know, or maybe even less. Like that is
And you got to take like a little like sharp object, poke it, you got to do a tracheotomy where you take a pin and you take out the thing and you stick it right in there, and then you're like, yes, he's good.
Right.
And then all the ladies are all over you, and they're like, oh,
exactly.
Thank you so much for saving my loved one.
That's how it happens in my dreams anyway. So hopefully that's how it unfolds in real life.
Well, once again, before we go, tell people how they can check out your content and how they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me just put in Unprofessional on any platforms you can think of, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everything like that. I'm on YouTube as well. Yeah.
I'm just going to be honest with you guys. That interview went as well as it could have been. Because, like I said before the interview, I had no idea what I was even having him on for. And I know that it sounded unprofessional to leave that beginning part because this show is recorded, I could have easily taken that little intro that I recorded before my guests came on. I could have easily taken that all out, but I left it in there because I thought it was kind of funny. I think the mix-up kind of added to the whole ambiance of the entire interview. So I left it in there. Not one of those hosts that can't mess up or completely just sound like he doesn't know what he's doing. Sounding like a jobber. And that's why I left it in there. But before I go, I want to ask you guys, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Brevard, Volusia, Flagler areas, check out my good friend Ian Hanna. I can't thank Ian enough. You know, he took a chance at, you know, putting his business up and associating it with the content that I'm putting out. And I'm never going to forget that. But back to what it is, I'm not trying to, you know, get on my knees and service Ian Hanna. I don't even know if he wants that included in his live read. But, you know, a lot of people aren't wanting to go out because of the pandemic, or they don't want to waste their time looking at a home that they might not even be interested in buying when they see it. The guy is a whiz when it comes to virtual reality tours, and Ian, before he got into the real estate stuff, was a drone aficionado, and one of the most important things in the state of Florida is your roof. So that's why you need to go to IanHannaHomes.com. And use the Tuttle Daily Podcast only and main sponsor, Ian Hanna at IanHannaHomes.com. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.